Great to be with you on this Pentecost Sunday morning. We're Evangelist Bill and Beth Uni from Fresh Fire Ministries, home based in Whitewater, Wisconsin. And today we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. Let me read what it says. It said in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place," in verse 4, "and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now we need to understand that the disciples, they already had the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. After Jesus' resurrection, when he appeared to his disciples, the Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 22, it says, "He breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." The disciples at that moment had the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And in the same way, the moment a person makes a commitment of their life to Christ today, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within them. Every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate additional experience available to a believer. The word perhaps best used to describe the baptism in the Holy Spirit would be the word more. The baptism in the Holy Spirit takes what the Holy Spirit is already doing in the life of the believer and just increases and intensifies and enhances it, giving the believer more power of the Holy Spirit and more comfort of the Holy Spirit, more guidance of the Holy Spirit, more means of communication in our prayer life, and many, many more benefits. And this was so important that Jesus told his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem without this." Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, prior to his ascension to heaven, Jesus said, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of from me." Did you notice the word commanded there? He didn't just imply or suggest or insinuate, but he commanded them, "Don't leave Jerusalem without this." Jesus thought this was important. In Acts chapter 8, we find the early church thought this was important. Acts chapter 8, there was just a lot of new believers in Samaria. Philip had gone down there to preach the gospel, and many accepted Christ. You had all these new believers in Samaria. And the Bible says that the early church, they sent Peter and John down to Samaria to tell these new believers about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We find Paul thought this was important. In Acts chapter 19, Paul comes across a small group of believers, 12 men in the large city of Ephesus. And the first question that Paul asked them was, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit since you believed?" They said, "We haven't even heard there's such a thing." So Paul explained it to them. He prayed for them, and they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This was so important back then, and this is still so important today. To help us in these days, in these times, as the coronavirus is causing many different things to happen in people's lives and schedules, and we need the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in the fullest dimension in our lives. And perhaps how the Holy Spirit can help us can best be illustrated as I share my story and what happened in my life regarding the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You see, I was not brought up in an Assemblies of God church, a Pentecostal church, or a charismatic church, and all this Holy Spirit stuff was all brand new to me. You might say, "Well, preacher, I don't have any church background. It's all new to me." Well, it was new to me too. Or maybe this morning you'd say, "Well, preacher, I actually come from a liturgical church background. Maybe it's a Catholic or Methodist or Episcopalian or Lutheran or Presbyterian. I spent the first 8 years of my life in a liturgical church. Wonderful, wonderful people. People who are wonderful, sweet, kind, loving people. But in those 8 years, I don't ever remember hearing about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. No one ever talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit." Or you might say, "Well, preacher, I actually come from an evangelical church background. Maybe it's a Baptist background or Evangelical Free or Missionary Alliance. I spent the next 8 years of my life in an evangelical church. Wonderful, wonderful people, committed to Christ, love Jesus, people I would forever be indebted to. Because it was during that 8 year period, when the age of 10, I made a commitment to my life to Jesus Christ. Greatest decision I've ever made in all of my life." In that particular church, I can remember hearing them preach, teach, and talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They preached, taught, and believed that what was in the book of Acts was powerful. It was real. It was wonderful. But in that particular church, they also preached, taught, and believed that when the book of Acts ended, so did the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That was for back then. But when the book of Acts ended, the baptism in the Holy Spirit was only for them, and it wasn't for today. So during those years, I didn't see people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit after I came to Christ. I didn't desire the baptism in the Holy Spirit because people told me this wasn't for today. Well, then in my late teenage years, my parents began to go to an Assemblies of God church. It was the Ironwood Assembly of God in Ironwood, Michigan. And as I went to the church with my parents, I began to hear about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I began to learn about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I learned that Peter, when he explained on the day of Pentecost what had happened in that upper room, Peter said in Acts 2:39, "This is for you. This is for your children. This is for those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." I learned that it had not ended with the book of Acts, but it was going to still be for today. Peter said it was not only for that generation, but it was for their children. It was for future generations, and it was for all coming generations. I learned the baptism in the Holy Spirit had not ended with the book of Acts. As we kept going to that church, I began to be open to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, open in this way. Yes, Lord, I believe it's real. And it's nice those people have it, but I don't think I need this. Then as we kept going to that church, I began to casually desire the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, casually desiring this way. Yes, Lord, I believe it's real. And if you want to hit me with it, go right ahead. Kind of like it's a 2x4 that one day he's going to hit me over the head with. But, you know, we're not going to ask God for this. We're not going to seek God for this. And with that mindset, chances are very slim we're going to receive. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "How much more will our Father," meaning God, "give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We need to ask. We need to ask. And then it got to the point where I really wanted to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I remember I got prayed for in church to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know what happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I thought, well, I'll pray on my own. So then I prayed on my own to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you know what happened? Nothing. Well, by now I was a student at Northern Michigan University, Marquette, Michigan, majoring in business. And I will never forget this night as long as I live. I had been in the library that night studying, and it was now midnight and the library was closing. So I had to leave the library that midnight and walk across campus to my dormitory. That midnight, I started walking across an empty vacant field between the library and my dormitory. Hey, it's the middle of the night, nobody's around. And so as I started walking across that field, I just began to pray out loud. Lord, I just want all that you promised. Lord, I want all that's available. Lord, just baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And before I even fully realized what happened, I found I was no longer praying in English, but I was praying in another language. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit walking across a field in the middle of the night at a secular university. But there were three things that caused me to desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, don't miss it. Number one, I came to the conclusion that if Jesus thought this was important, then I wanted whatever Jesus thought was important. Second of all, I came to the conclusion, if there was more available than what I had already received, then I wanted all that was available. And thirdly, I came to the conclusion that the baptism in the Holy Spirit can do everything people told me it can and everything the Bible said it can, then I wanted and I needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I found that being baptized in the Holy Spirit revolutionized my Christian life. Let me illustrate it in this way. I found a new power in my life. You know, people see an evangelist, and prior to God calling us into this ministry, we actually pastored for 20 years. And so people see a former pastor, people see an evangelist, and the natural assumption is, oh yeah, that's just the way you were born. You just love speaking in front of other people. You love the feel of words coming out of your mouth in front of other people, and that's the way you always were. Let me tell you the way it really was. I was one of those people who could not give a book report in school. One of those people who could not give a speech in school. Anytime I had to speak in front of the class in school, that morning I'd be found at home, standing in front of a sink, my stomach tied up in knots beyond description from nervousness, doing you know what into that sink, sicker than a dog throwing up into that sink. In the midst of throwing up into that sink, I'd be praying more passionately for the coming of Jesus Christ than anybody ever prayed for Jesus to come. But I found that when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a new power that came into my life. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say, yeah, I'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit, never have any fears, never have any butterflies, never have any apprehensions. I won't tell you that because that's not true. You may find you got fears and you got butterflies, but you're also going to find you got a new power. You got a new power in your life that will help you to do what God wants you to do, to be what God wants you to be. I found a new power in my life, not only in speaking in front of the people, but I found a new power in other areas of my life. I also found a new dimension to my prayer life. I had a whole new language that I could pray in, my prayer language. I could pray for things I didn't know about, but the Holy Spirit did. I could pray for things I couldn't put into words, but the Holy Spirit could do. I found a whole new dimension to my prayer life. I found a new way to build myself up spiritually. The book of Jude says in Jude 14, "Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." I found the baptism in the Holy Spirit revolutionized my Christian life. But it's not only revolutionized my life, but do you know what God is doing in the Pentecostal part of the church world today is just simply staggering. Statisticians tell us that today there are 669 million plus people baptized in the Holy Spirit around the world today. That's more than two times the entire United States population. That's a lot of people baptized in the Holy Spirit. Statisticians tell us that every single day, 27,000 people are baptized in the Holy Spirit around the world. Every single day. You won't see it in the news, read it in the newspaper, hear it in the radio. But God is pouring out His Holy Spirit in an incredible way around the world today. In closing this morning, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is real. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is for today, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit is needed. We can never earn, merit, or deserve the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift that we receive from God by His grace and His mercy, a gift that is available to every believer. Hey, if you're a believer this morning, congratulations, you are eligible. In fact, Peter, when he explained the baptism in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter says in Acts 2:38, paraphrasing what Peter was saying to that group that was gathered around that upper room and they're wondering what was happening, Peter says to them, "Come to Christ, every one of you, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The baptism in the Holy Spirit's available for any and every believer. But it's up to us to reach out and receive this gift. You see, God won't force His gift on anybody. This church won't force His gift on anybody. Your pastor doesn't force His gift on anybody. We wouldn't force this gift on anybody. But the question would be, why wouldn't anybody want this? Why wouldn't anybody want this when it's available to every believer? So why not be what Jesus wanted us to be, baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why not be like that early church, baptized in the Holy Spirit? And why not be sure that it's fresh and up to date, enabling us to be refreshed and victorious, enabling us to stand strong, to be what Jesus wants us to be, and to do what Jesus wants us to do? The question I'd ask is, why not? Why not? Why not? It's available to every believer. Let's pray. This morning, you might be watching this broadcast, and maybe you've never made a commitment of your life to Jesus. And you say, "Preacher, I just heard you say that it's available to every believer, but I've never made that commitment of my life to Christ." Or maybe you made a commitment of your life to Christ at one time, but you've drifted away. This morning, we want to lead you in a prayer of inviting Christ into your life or recommitting your life to Christ. And so if you'd repeat after me as we say this prayer together, just repeat after me. Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. Forgive me of the sin in my life. I come to you this morning. I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of the sin in my life. And this morning, I commit my life to following you. I thank you that you have forgiven me of the sin in my life. I thank you that you now live within me by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you that you're going to help me as I live for Jesus from this day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for what you have done. Amen. Amen. Now there's another prayer that I want to lead you in this morning, because now you're a believer and you are eligible for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Another gift that God has for you in addition to salvation. Or maybe you've been a believer for years, but you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit until this morning. And so this morning we want to lead you in a prayer to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that Jesus wants to do it even more than you want to receive. He's not up there wondering, how can I hold it back from these people? But he is wanting to do it even more than you want to receive. But sometimes we can make it difficult to receive what he makes so readily available. The Bible says that there was a sign and an evidence that they had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues. They spoke in a language that was unknown to them. We find it recorded in Acts chapter 2. We find it in Acts chapter 10. We find it in Acts chapter 19. You find it repeatedly in Scripture. And the evidence and the sign was they began to speak in a language that was unknown to them. But there's two keys. Number one, in order to speak anything, whether it's English or an unknown language to us, what do we have to do? We have to open our mouth, move our tongue, put a voice to it. We're not going to speak anything if we lock our jaw and clamp our mouth shut. We've got to open our mouth, got to move our tongue, got to put a voice to it. Remember my story, got prayed for in church and nothing happened? It wasn't God's fault, it was my fault. You know what I did? I locked my jaw, I clenched my teeth, and I wondered why I wasn't speaking anything. Well, a carpenter couldn't got my mouth open with a crowbar. Remember the rest of the story? I was walking across a field in the middle of the night. Remember what I was doing? I was praying and talking to God out loud. My mouth was already open. My tongue was already moving. My voice was engaged, and it happened so easily. I thought, oh, if I'd have known that weeks ago, I'd have been baptized in the Holy Spirit weeks ago. The second thing that we need to remember is that we can't speak two languages at the same time. You got to stop speaking English in order to speak another language. You can't. It's one language coming out of one mouth at one time. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is I want to pray with you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to make it our prayer and then believe that Jesus will do what only he can do as we desire him to and as we allow him to. And so let's pray. And if you'd repeat after me again, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning thankful for my salvation, thankful that the Holy Spirit already dwells within me. But this morning I now ask that you will baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I want this additional power. I want this additional dimension of the Holy Spirit's working in my life. And so this morning I ask that you will baptize me with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in an unknown language to me. Father, this morning I ask that in the name of Jesus, in your grace and in your mercy, you will baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Now just open your mouth, begin to move your tongue, put a voice to it, and let that other language come out. Just no more English, let that other language come out. It might be just a word, it might be a few words, it might be a flowing language, but just let those words, let those phrases, let that language come out. You won't understand it. You can't figure it out. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. And just keep going just for a moment. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Just let it go now. Let it go. Let it go. That language that's unknown to you, it's a known language somewhere in this world or someplace at one time in this world, but it's unknown to you. Just let it go. It's not gibberish, but it is an unknown language to you, and it's the sign and the evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're not wondering, was I or wasn't I? You were baptized in the Holy Spirit if you were speaking words, phrases, a language that you did not know that was unknown to you. Thank you, for Lord, for what you're doing in hearts and lives right now. Thank you for what you're doing. Now this morning, we want to do one more thing as we come to the end. We just want to give some follow-up instructions now for those who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's also helpful to those who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit for years. But number one, don't let anybody talk you out of what you have experienced today. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let your friends talk you out of it. And for heaven's sakes, don't talk yourself out of it. If you are speaking in an unknown language, phrases, words, sentences unknown to you, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can guarantee you almost the enemy's going to come to you and he's going to whisper in your ear, that wasn't God, that was you, you made all that up. Don't you dare believe him, he's a liar. You know, I know the devil's going to do it though, because he did it to me, and there was nobody around to share with me what I'm sharing with you, and I believed him for a period of time until a believer pulled me aside and shared with me what I'm sharing with you. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it, don't let other people talk you out of it, and don't talk yourself out of it. Second of all, don't base the reality of what you have experienced on what you did or did not feel. People have various different kinds of emotions when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, some people, they are ecstatic. Some people, they feel really warm. Some feel really good. You know what my reaction was when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit walking across that field? Oh, that was nice. You say that was it? Yep, that was it. Us low-key Finlanders, not real emotional kind of people, but was it real? It was just as real. You see, the evidence in the Bible was not what they felt. The evidence was they spoke in other tongues. Feelings, they come, they go, they're there, they're gone. Don't depend on feelings to verify the reality of what you have experienced this morning. The evidence is not what a person feels. The evidence is they spoke in other tongues. Thirdly, the encouragement is now every day, put to use what you have experienced this morning. You might say, you mean I can do this at home more? Yes. Every day, take time to pray in that prayer language. And don't get hung up on how many words you got, how few words you got. Just every day, put to use what you've got. Words will become phrases, phrases become sentences, sentences become paragraphs, paragraphs become languages. Every day, put it to use. We were the pastor some time ago in Minnesota, and I still remember what that pastor said to me. He said, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he said, I think I had one word. And he said, I think it was a one-syllable word at that. Just use what you got. Put it to use. Don't let the baptism in the Holy Spirit be like a gift that you receive, and then you throw the gift in a corner somewhere, and you forget about it, or you don't put it to use. But every day, put it to use. Every day, put it to use. And then fourthly, if you have questions, ask the pastor of the church that's allowing us to do this online presentation this morning. Ask the pastor. Let him know you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you got questions, ask him. Just feel free to ask him. And if you're watching and you're not affiliated with this particular church, well, go to that church and ask him your questions anyway. Or find another Assemblies of God church, a Pentecostal church, a Foursquare church, a Church of God, a church that believes in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and ask the questions. Just ask the questions. But let the pastor know that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he'll rejoice with you. It's been such a pleasure and privilege to be with you today. We thank God for what he's been doing in hearts and lives, and we pray that God's going to continue it. Let me just finish with a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity we've had to minister this morning, Lord. We thank you for what you've been doing in hearts and lives. Thank you for what you're doing in this church that's putting on this online presentation. We pray, Father, your blessing upon the pastor. We pray your blessing upon the church. And we pray you'll just continue to pour out your Holy Spirit in this church, Lord, accomplishing your plans, your purposes, and desires. And Father, we just ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.